Let's pray. Father God, we ask with the anointing of your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us. It is only you who knows our needs, who knows what we're going through, and who knows exactly the food that we need from your word. And so we pray for that. Pray for your Holy Spirit to teach us things, to shut doors, to open doors, Lord, that we will walk well with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoops, Daniel chapter 7, wasn't 8? I was thinking ahead. Okay. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts, which are four kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever. Even forever and ever. We note that Daniel was grieved in his spirit and was troubled. Sometimes we think that God would not do anything that grieves or troubles us. Look at the life of Jesus and the early church and think again. Part of the price we pay for serving God is grief and batterings. We cannot be overcomers if there are no battles. The repercussions of sin in this world bring much sadness. When we consider the history of mankind, scholars vary in their thinking of when Adam was created. James Usher, who was around 1600 AD, calculated the world was created 4004 BC, as Adam was created on the sixth day, and the sun was not created until day four. We don't really know how long the first few days actually were. The Jewish calculation for Adam is 3761 BC. So on the 6th of September last year, they started 5782, the year 5782. Regardless, the 7th millennium will see the return of Jesus. Evolution tries to sabotage this by espousing millions of years. Interestingly, however, the world is very aware that we live in an age where the survival of mankind is very tentative and fragile. When we hear of wars, earthquakes, floods, cyclones, pollution, COVID, famine, lawlessness in Perth, persecution of Christians, we must surely be aware that we live in end times. So, the four beasts introduced to mankind cultures of demonic influence. Some part of a culture, some parts were adopted by the next culture, next empire. Like the Greek god Zeus is adopted and changed its name to Jupiter. We have seen one of the subtlest tricks of Satan is to have good things to distract us from God. Things like Santa and presents have nudged God out of first place. Women's rights have been seen as good, even though babies' rights are demolished. Gay marriage is seen as establishing a friendship, but then children grow up without a mother and a father. Aboriginal cultures worship the spirits of the land. Mental illness is seen as a plausible excuse for crime. Porn violates the integrity of the individual. The name of Jesus is used as a swear word, and no one is offended. The end result of Satan's activities is to separate people from God, and Australia needs to repent. But to understand the lesson of the four beasts, we must see the 6,000 years as a fixed interval of time in which the fall in Eden had led to demons challenging mankind with all manner of evil. Why do you have football? So that you know that there's a start and an end. So in that period of time, the coach says, right, I want you to tackle, get the ball, and kick goals. But there's an end point, and there's a start. You don't have to do it now that we're in the change rooms. When you get out on the field, that's when you start. So 6,000 years, there's the start and the end. And God has it all planned. If we study the Bible, we see that there was a beginning, and there will be an end to this evil. The scriptures warn us of the things to come so that we are ready. Daniel says, then I wished to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely, that horn had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. Now, we've already discussed that in past weeks and had a look at that in sermons, but there we have it. We don't yet know who or what the 3 horns that will fall in verse 20 are. They seem to pay homage to the pompous horn, which is the Antichrist. There are many varied opinions on who these 3 horns will be and how this compares with the beast in Revelation 13 and 17. For me, I look for a person who can influence the world for Satan. I strongly suspect he could be Muslim and linked to the United Nations. I am happy to be corrected, as this will become clearer as time progresses. But in the meantime, the point is that we need to get ready. And the bride has made herself ready. That's the key thing, isn't it? The bride was right about this interpretation, that interpretation. No. The bride has made herself ready. God looks at heart, doesn't he? Are we ready? Are we getting ready? Now, will our government curtail Christian activities? Who knows? I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them, until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favour of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. We see that the Antichrist is a pompous horn who makes war with the saints. There are pompous rulers in the world today. Kim Jong-un from North Korea made a law on the 20th of December that no one could smile or laugh for 10 days to honour his father. I found that incredible. I laughed. I probably shouldn't have. But for a different reason from him. But imagine a rule of making a rule that you cannot smile or laugh for 10 days. The Antichrist prevails in the war against Christians. You know, we may have to die for our faith, but God wins in the end. How do we prepare for this battle? We walk with God, we talk with God. Satan will do everything in his power to hinder and distract us in this walk. Prayer, fellowship, and the Word of God are the best strategies to stay close to God's Holy Spirit in the mundane things of this life. Prayer, fellowship with each other, and the Word of God. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings which shall arrive from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hands for a time, times, and half a time. The fourth beast, I believe, is the Roman Empire, which has developed into the Western world. The Western world has dominated nations for centuries. In early times, it was solidly founded on Christianity, or more solidly founded on Christianity. But recently, We've seen huge compromise and the rise of Muslim nations. They have subtly infiltrated Western countries with immigration, and the doctrine of inclusivity, which they don't practice in their own country. The persecution of Christians in China, North Korea, India, and Muslim nations is largely ignored by the media. Erdogan in Turkey is another pompous ruler. There's a marked similarity between the vision to Daniel and the Revelation 13 and 17. It's too easy to get bogged down in detail and miss the message, and the bride has made herself ready. Maybe the three kings are the three main religions, Christianity, Muslim and Buddhist nations. Could the pompous horn be the Antichrist, head of the UN? Not a country, so you can't defeat. This mystery will unfold in time. Regardless, I believe that God is telling us to get ready. We do not know what 2022 will bring, but looming before us are huge possible challenges. You know, Jesus warns us of the tribulation to come. He says, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh could be saved. For the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. We notice that the church does go through the terrible times, but the duration will be shortened because of the church. We're told in Daniel, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. You know, Matthew 24:29 clearly teaches that the rapture happens after the tribulation. The pre-trib rapture theory is there to distract the bride from getting ready. Matthew 24:29, immediately after. What does after mean? Does it mean before? No, it means after. After the tribulation of these days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Immediately after, Paul teaches in 2 Thessalonians, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day," one day, "that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." We note that before Jesus comes, we will know who the pompous Antichrist is, and that there will be a falling away of the church. Then in one and the same day, two tremendous things happen. Jesus comes and we're gathered. They both happen. For that day will come. Or that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. For in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." It could be the seventh trumpet in Revelation 11:15. After that verse, there is no evidence of the church on earth. For instance, at the fifth trumpet, there is evidence of the church. Revelation 9, then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then, out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the field or any green thing or tree, but only those men who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So there were men, there were people there with the seal of God. And they were not given authority to harm, to kill them, but to torment for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them. But in the sixth trumpet, when one third of mankind is killed, there is no repentance, so there is no church. So in that sixth trumpet, so the four angels who had prepared for the hour and day, month and year, were released to kill a third of mankind. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and smoke and brimstone which came out of their mouths. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by the plagues, did not repent. So there's no church. Did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So by that stage there are no believers left. Now we read that the rapture will happen with the blast of an angelic trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, a pre-trib rapture does much to undo the preparation for the persecution which will come from the beast. Believers in countries that are being hideously persecuted do not and cannot believe in some pre-trib rapture. If you're a believer being raped, dismembered, executed, starved, tortured, it is obvious that the pre-trib teaching is wrong. And in fact, it never existed for the first 1800 years of the church. Jesus wants us to prepare for these hard times, and the bride has made herself ready. Matthew 24 again. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. You know, this is probably my most unpopular sermon. And I said to God, I said, do I have to do it? I mean, you like to give good sermons, not to tell people that there's going to be a persecution, not to tell people that there will be an antichrist who prevails against the saints, not to tell people that the church that will have a falling away, not to tell people, but the bride has made herself ready. The Bible speaks, you know, of seven seals in Revelation 6. The first is a rider on a white horse representing a false Christ. And we will see a falling away in churches. We've been warned. People will stop reading and studying the Bible. Prayer will not eventuate. Fellowship, gone. People will stop listening to God in prayer. Sometimes our prayer is talk, 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 and no listening. But surely, surely you have to listen. Surely in every classroom, somewhere you say, shut up and listen. Yep, you listen, listen, listen for the teaching. Even in Darlington, we have a church that does not stand against deviant sexuality and has multi-faith services. The second seal is war. One only has to watch SBS to see that Satan has taken peace from the world. Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Yemen, Venezuela, Libya, Iran, Russia, Turkey, Syria, Yemen, Somalia, Ukraine, Mali, Nigeria, Myanmar. Are just some countries in 2021 with no peace. Third seal is famine. I sent you an email there from Barnabas Fund. In 2022, Barnabas Fund has warned that there will be 2.2 billion. The population of the world is about 7.8 billion, so it's over a quarter. 2.2 billion people in the world could be undernourished. And that will get worse. That is staggering, people. That is staggering. 2.2 billion people on earth will be undernourished. We can't comprehend it because I have a fridge full of food and we have stuff that goes off and you put stuff in the compost from leftovers. 2.2 billion people would want the stuff that I've put in the compost. Fourth seal is death. A quarter of the earth dies by sword or famine or pestilence, could be COVID, or wild beasts. Violence is increasing in Perth. Every week, every day, maybe, I don't know. And you watch the news. Violence is increasing in our land, in Perth. I remember way back, it was probably about 1963 when Eric Ed Cook murdered that person. Before then, you know, you didn't even lock up. And, you just left the house as it was. The fifth seal is the cry of the martyrs. Open Doors reports that just in the last year, 2021, there have been over 340 million Christians living in places where they experience high levels of persecution and discrimination. 4,761 Christians were killed for their faith. 4,488 churches and other Christian buildings were attacked. 4,277 believers detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. And they say the statistics could be a lot higher. That's what they know about. That's the reported stuff. People, that is huge. That is huge. And again, we, the people of Perth, can we comprehend even 0.1% of all of that? Because we live without this persecution. We live in peace. We walk in peace. You can walk down the street safely most of the time. The sixth seal is terror from cosmic disasters. In the last year, we've seen earthquakes, volcanoes, storms, floods, fire affect millions of people. You can see the start for all these seals already. They may not come in 2022, but we need to be ready. The bride has made herself ready. Do you get it? Because the interpretation of all of this stuff can be stuff that people debate about and all of that. But God looks at heart and he says, are you ready? Regardless of whether you're right or wrong, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Because if you're ready, it comes from your heart. And you do stuff. We need to be ready. God encourages us by showing us the end. Daniel 7. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms and under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, and I kept the matter in my heart. Why? I said last time, you know, why are you given football? A different answer last time. So that you know that it's the score at the end of the game that counts. At the end. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. Final siren that counts. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. God has revealed to us the whole picture from the beginning to the end. Satan will try to get us to deny the faith by lies, death, scarcity, disease, persecution, cosmic disasters, but we know the end. The prophetic books in the Bible repeatedly give this message: when a nation does not repent, judgment will come. It says in Ezekiel, you know, God relented. He says he's prepared to relent. The King James says repent. It's the same word, relent, repent. God is prepared. If you repent, he'll change his mind about the judgment. People have ignored Isaiah through to Malachi, but the message is there over and over and over again. God's sick of phony worship. He wants real worship. He wants heart. Australia has not repented. Australia has not repented. We've spent millions, billions of dollars on submarines, thinking that's the defence that we want. And yet in the hearts of Australia, we have killed millions of babies. We have defiled marriage. We have accepted pornography and corrupted the minds of people, especially even young people. Australia has not repented. We have used the name Jesus Christ as a swear word, and we have not repented. We have not repented. Judgment will come to our nation if we continue to ignore God. Read Isaiah through to Malachi. When the people did not repent, judgment comes. God says this. Says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, COVID, if my people who are called by my name will, one, humble themselves, pride has to be stomped on. If my people will humble themselves, I gave you people three things to do every night when you shut your eyes. One, thank God for something because it reminds you of how you are blessed. Two, repent. And three, ask him for something. Put your petition before him. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Repentance is vital because it's there you say, I was wrong. I was wrong. Lord God, I was wrong. I was wrong. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. We have to pray. We talk to everybody else. We have to talk to God. God is our creator. We have to talk. We have to talk. And we have to listen. Do something that sets you alone. I run. It's a great time. 40 minutes when I'm alone and I can just talk to God. Yes, my mind gets distracted. I'm hopeless. Go for a walk. Set it in your program. Go for a walk alone. Talk to God. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, repentance. We have to turn. We have to turn from our wicked ways. It's 100% turn. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Where does repentance begin? Does it begin in Canberra? Does it begin with Mark McGowan? No, people, it begins with us. It begins with me. It begins with you. That's where repentance begins. When the Spirit of God says, you were wrong, repent. Conscience, Latin, con, is with, scio is to know. Who do you know with? You know with the Spirit of God, whether you are right or wrong. You know it, deep down in your guts. Conscience leads to humility or anger. Some people don't want to be told they're wrong. Don't want, and what's the result? Anger. How dare they? How dare you mention hell? They don't believe in hell, but they're still angry about hell, which is really odd. It doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, if someone talks to you about Flintstones being real people or something, you know, you'd think, ah, yeah, laugh. Yeah. You know, how can you get angry about something you don't believe in? But you mention hell. Israel Folau did it. You mentioned hell, and people got angry. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. So, let 2022 be a year where we repent. Where we say, Lord, I want to change my ways. I'm sorry. I want to change, and I want to walk with you. And we pray for each other. Stay strong. Pray for each other. I want us to stand and sing this song. It's the song that I wrote, I Will Never Ever Leave You. And I just, and Rob, you're on the clicker. I can go to the first slide. At the end of the song, the words are, I will never ever leave you, I will never ever leave you, I'll never ever leave you. And then God says, I chose you and love you forever. I chose you and love you forever. And I want you to name a person in the last line. A person, Ed, Sue, Brian, Ruth, Evelyn. God chose you and loves you forever. Because that's where it's at. That in all of this mess of persecution, God says to you, I chose you and love you forever. Now, for the visitors, you probably don't know it, but I mean, you wouldn't know it. But anyway, follow the words, sing along.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. You chose us, and that is so precious. You chose us, and you love us forever. And we know the end. In the end, we will stand with you. In the end, we will reign with you. In the end, we will be in your presence and enjoy you forever. Lord, in the meantime, in this year, would you help us to get ready? We want to be prepared. We want an alertness to your Holy Spirit to speak out the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell people that you, the Son of God, came to take away our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We want the courage to speak it out, Lord God. We want the alertness. We pray for our prodigals, Lord. Pray for those who have heard the gospel, who have had the seed dropped in their life, and pray for their doors to be open, that they will open their hearts to you and come back to you, Lord God. That they will open the Word, they will find the Bible and read it. Lord, that their hearts will come to you. We don't pray for prosperity, we don't pray for good health, we don't pray for happiness, all of that stuff. We want salvation that lasts forever. And so we ask for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.